Welcome to the Did You Know podcast by Verisource, where we interview founders and executives at amazing technology companies that can help your business save time and money and grow, especially bring awareness to smarter, better, faster solutions that can transform your business.
Hello, everyone. This is Victor with Verisource. Welcome to another episode of the Did You Know podcast. Today is going to be a super, super entertaining episode, and excited to have Philip with Tranche here with us. Philip is the CEO and founder of Tranche. Tranche essentially is a buy now, pay later platform for B2B SaaS and services, enabling your business to get paid upfront by providing flexible payment terms to your customers. Welcome to the episode, Philip.
Thank you very much, Victor, for having me. Delighted to be here.
Yeah. So, obviously, I know, been talking to you for the last couple months, you have a lot of amazing stories. If you don't mind maybe giving a couple seconds background on yourself and Tranche, that'd be great.
Awesome. So hi, everyone. I'm Philip. I'm based in London right now. Start off my career in London, actually. So I started my career in banking. I worked at a bank called Rothschild, did a lot of work around financial services, carried on doing that, became a consultant. After that, a company called Bain. But then really want to get my hands dirty and like actually become an operator. So I ended up joining a digital mortgage platform here in London, scaling that to a few hundred people, ending up being the CFO during the pandemic. So some pretty interesting war stories I have from that experience. And then having spent some more time over in the US, living in the West Coast, set up Tranche with my co-founder Bo, and we're on a super exciting journey to solve one of the pain points I had as a CFO when I was managing a $30-50 million cost budget, and I just couldn't pay flexibly for the things that mattered in my budget, which could be anything from like my big software renewals all the way to legal fees, marketing, you name it. I got these invoices through and I thought, hey, what if I could spread these over 3, 6, 9, 12 months in a super easy fashion? Why couldn't I have a consumer experience to paying for some of my largest invoices from software to services? And that's the journey we've been going on Tranche, and super excited to be expanding into the US just as we finish Y Combinator.
Yeah, that's again, just so many interesting questions that's going to come your way today. So first of all, I get to know about buy now, pay later through companies on the consumer side, like Affirm, right? And I think there's a couple others. Just hearing about the news and what it was, because a lot of time, I mean, even, Amazon, I think, partnered with Affirm, or even Apple, right, was offering buy now, pay later, meaning on the consumer side, if you're going to buy an iPhone, you can now do buy now, pay later. And again, financing is something that everybody knows, right? You finance your car, you finance your house, right? So people are familiar with financing. But, before this buy now, pay later, market category came along, it was, obviously even for consumer products, which I thought was amazing. It was an amazing idea. Obviously, a lot of these companies went public, so I think you're in the right category, Philip. But I haven't seen, obviously them do that in the B2B space, which if you can imagine, companies spent, millions, like you said, right, on services and SaaS. And so when I heard about, what you're creating, it was just mind blown, to be honest. So but to me, the first question for you is, even with that, but when I talk to a lot of, customers, executives, and just companies, this buy now, pay later concept is still new to them in general, even on the personal side. They're not even that aware of buy now, pay later. And so kind of walk me through, what made you think of this category, and, how do you kind of educate the people on do you feel like this, it's going to be obviously, how is the market going to know more about this buy now, pay later option?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think they're going to find out about it the same way that they do on the consumer side. They're going to see it as an option. And so for what we do is, we partner with, from leading law firms to leading procurement platforms to leading SaaS companies, that during the conversation they're having with customers or at the bottom of the invoice, it now says, hey, you can spread this out flexibly over 3 to 12 months. And what that means is kind of really helping. What we're doing helps both sides, because we're enabling these companies to get paid where typically people just sit on invoices. They pay them late. I think like 40% of software invoices in the US are paid late. That's a crazy number. And that has really real ramifications. And what we do is we enable, like, almost like this checkout experience. We create these pay with tranche checkouts. That means we can bring an online experience to these really kind of offline invoices that exist in the world. And that's what we're on our kind of job to transform. And like people like you and, you know, the other software procurement platforms out there, you're trying to get people the best deal. But then the best deal is not just when you've got a number on there. It's how do I pay for it? What installments can I pay for this? How easy is it for me to pay differently? And that's where Tranche is coming in.
So why do you think is the right time to start, you know, this category? You know, obviously the world has changed dramatically the last 2 years with COVID, right? That the digitization, digital transformation for companies has accelerated. That also means more cloud, more SaaS. Is that the main reason you feel like this, you know, it's the best time to start this category?
I'd say that's like one of three reasons that I think about. I think the second reason, which is like more of a macro one, is that, you know, while there were a lot of challenges during the pandemic, there was a lot of capital out there in the world. I mean, there still is, but the central banks were literally printing money. And businesses were getting a huge amount of stimulus, you know, trillions of dollars of stimulus across the world, not just in the UK, in the US as well. And that meant that kind of some, for a lot of businesses, actually, you know, capital was fairly cheap and they had large balance sheets. Whereas now, you know, with such uncertainty in the world again, with rising costs, people are really looking at their budgets. And, you know, we've been seeing that everywhere, either with kind of job losses in places or just, you know, people kind of thinking about how they want to procure and do they want to buy a contract? Do they not? And so I think that backdrop is really important, because if we can help people with cash flow management, liquidity, where they can pay flexibly every period of time rather than all their contracts renew in September and there's a lot of cash going out the door, we can help them think about the profile of their business differently. And I think the third thing is just enabling factors. So we kind of use state-of-the-art banking transaction data. We kind of are able to approve customers, not just based on outdated credit scores, which often really are pretty useless, especially for newer businesses. But we use kind of much more complex, but also like technologically advanced ways to enable us to reach a much broader set of businesses. So I'd say backdrop plus enabling factors makes this a category that we're really going to see continue to grow.
Yeah. And again, you know, talking, you know, learning from you, Philip, you know, when you do financing for a large sum of money, whether that's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars, oftentimes, you know, the traditional financing methods, you know, maybe through banking or whatever, takes a long time, you know, and that's maybe one of the reasons that, you know, like people don't do it. Meaning, hey, if you need to finance, you know, $100,000 for a purchase and it takes you, you know, 2 weeks, 2 months, you know, then, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? And so one of the things I love about your platform and what you guys build is the speed, right? And that's one, I would say maybe that's one of the secret sauces. Can you kind of explain how that works to audience, more than just the financing, but how quickly they're able to, you know, get financing and know if this is viable?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're completely right. You know, we don't really even think about this as financing, because financing has stigma. We just think about this as a different way to pay. And we think the payments, B2B payments, just really do kind of suck out there. And so we're trying to change that. And, you know, right now, like, we have customers coming onto our platform and we've paid their suppliers by the end of that day. But we're not stopping there. We want to kind of almost make it like seamless. Even when you're doing hundreds of thousands of dollars, we want it to be even more seamless. You know, we want to be able to say, hey, we can, you know, you can come onto our platform, connect, and we will pay to supply within the hour, as long as it's kind of like within kind of like rough normal hours of the day. And like the thought of that happening, that you can set that all up like straight away, is pretty exciting. So you know, we didn't even think about it as like applying to a bank for a loan. You come onto our platform and you can use Tranche as much or as little as you want over a significant amount of time, and it's constantly evolving.
Yeah. And one of the things, obviously, you know, because of the economy and the, you know, downturn right now, there's a lot of things that startups or companies are thinking about, you know, cash flow, right? Which I think many of the things you talked about help them with, you know, cash flow management, right? That's one. But then two is also savings. They're trying to figure out how, you know, they need to buy software. Software runs their businesses, right? And so they still need to continue to pay for and buy and renew software. One of the, another great use case that you know, I hope you can talk about is how can procurement or people buying software leverage your platform more than financing and, like you said, cash flow, but to leverage to get better deals on software as well as part of their negotiation. I think that's something procurement managers are going to love. So can you kind of speak to that?
Yeah. And can you just repeat the question just to make sure I've really, really understood it?
Yeah. So, you know, the question is, you know, how can procurement or companies who are sourcing buying software, how can they use your platform to help them negotiate better rates or better deals on for software services?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a super exciting partnership that you know about, Victor, but we can't, I'm not going to share live on this podcast just yet. But we see ourselves as a way to, we work with some of the largest procurement platforms, because whilst they can help you with the procurement and getting them the best price, we then partner with them to say, hey, you can pay this with Tranche as well. So I won't go into details of who we're partnering with. There'll be more on that soon. But ultimately, I think when you think about software procurement, you should think about it in two stages. One, how do I get the best price for my needs? And two, how should I pay this so it suits my kind of my P&L, my liquidity, cash flow?
Yeah, and one of the examples that I love from you was, you know, obviously companies know that if they pay upfront, a year upfront, they're going to get the best rates. But oftentimes, you know, they said, well, I don't want to pay a year upfront, you know, because of cash flow or other reasons. So I want to pay monthly, but then they lose that leverage or opportunity for discount or savings, right? So it kind of hurts both sides. It makes it hard for the customer. It makes it hard for the, you know, the SaaS provider, because a SaaS provider obviously wants the cash flow too, and they want, you know, paid upfront. Right. So I feel like you're absolutely solving kind of that both sides of the coin.
Exactly. And, you know, what we say is that what we've actually found is that SaaS companies are less and less willing to offer any sort of monthly or quarterly payment terms because they're under a lot of pressure to register that ARR up front. And offering monthly and quarterly payments, in their view, kind of leads to higher churn. So now they, when a customer comes to them and say, hey, can I pay monthly? They can say, well, we do offer payment monthly, but through our kind of exclusive partner, Pay with Tranche, and they can go into the Pay with Tranche checkout and pay flexibly. And so we're able to help both sides in that situation.
So anytime people talk about banking, financing, or even just fintech and all of these things, it seems like it could be a very complicated integration and process. But with you guys, it's really seamless. Can you walk through kind of what that, if somebody, you know, a company is interested in implementing a Tranche, what does that process and time frame look like?
We can get someone set up with their own checkout page that, you know, within about half an hour. And we build it in that way to essentially, like, say, I mean, I could do it quicker, but I set an SLA. But the we can set someone up with our own co-branded checkout page that they can get going and offering to that customers that same day. Now, if they want to be more integrated, like integrate the invoices in and et cetera, we can do that. But we can get them set up and trying this out with customers and seeing that demand within half an hour. That's how quick we can go.
Wow. That's amazing. So, you know, obviously this is still a relatively new space, but just like anything, when something makes so much sense and becomes popular, there's going to be competition that comes in different, you know, from the large companies to startups. Where do you see as a founder, you know, how you guys will differentiate or, you know, how will you guys innovate to kind of stay ahead of the curve?
That's always a challenge. They say kind of innovate or, you know, kind of fall behind, right?
Yeah.
So I think they say something a bit harsh, but I wouldn't say that. But the you've got to constantly be moving ahead. You've got to be saying, and I think the way to do that is to always be talking to your customers and saying, hey, well, what actually changes this for them? Like, what do they actually want? And sometimes as a founder, you can think about what someone wants until you test it, it's really kind of like an untested hypothesis. And so what we need to do is make sure that we, you know, we're really proud of some of the partnerships we have, and we want to continue a lot of those and expand them. And then at the same time, we need to make sure that the customer journey is constantly getting better. And, you know, every time I give a demo to anyone on the platform, you know, sometimes I'm even surprised because our team is like, improve something, change something. I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. So, you know, you're going to be doing both things. We like to always think about it as continuous improvement. So, you know, you're never just, you know, there may be the big things that you ship, but like a product should never kind of stay still. And it's really important to keep moving, keep testing, keep pushing ahead.
So no, that makes sense. And the way that you guys have innovated just in the last couple months that I met you, it's amazing. So, you know, obviously our audience, you know, comes in different, you know, places, such as it could be executives, it could be, even MSPs. And I know, you know, MSP was another kind of great example or use case for you guys. Do you have any kind of, feedback on how like a company like an MSP, a managed service provider, can benefit from your solution? Because a lot of times it's not just for the end customer. That's why I think you have such kind of a viral effect, right? It's kind of like you have a partner that offers the payment and then the customer knows about it. So it's kind of like that just kind of goes viral on both sides. But from a partner, like a managed service provider that listens to this podcast, how could they leverage your service?
Well, they could be offering Pay with Tranche to their customers. You know, everyone, wherever there's an invoice, there's a use case. That's, I may have invented that tagline just now.
But, I need to trademark that before you do.
Quick, get out there. But that's how we think about this. You know, ultimately, you know, transactions are happening constantly in the world. There's trillions of payments between B2B, and it doesn't matter what sector it's in. But we think MSPs is another great use case for us.
So, you know, I'm here to ask you the tough questions, right? I mean, you know, with anything that's good, there's always some maybe limitation or downsides or just challenges. For example, you know, one thing I asked you before was, hey, if a company is buying software, but yes, now they can, you know, buy now, pay later through your platform and improve their cash flow. But obviously there is a, you know, interest rate that they have to pay. They may look at it as an additional cost. So how would you answer that? How would you counter that to a client who perhaps think about that concern?
Yeah, I'll answer in two ways. One is for that customer, you know, often we're very transparent. So it's not really, we don't even think about it as an interest rate. There's a fee. It's very open from the beginning. It's spread out over the lifetime of how long you want to spread it out for. And it's pretty small versus the value of the contract. I mean, you know, it's from around like 0.8% a month. And but the benefit of it is that you are able to invest in growth upfront and invest your budget elsewhere without essentially paying someone else's bills. And most of our customers don't even notice it. Quite frankly, they've already negotiated such a great discount on the price, especially if they're using like a software procurement platform, that actually we're just kind of a tiny bit of margin within what they've already saved. So we're kind of more thinking about like, ah, we've helped you save money. Now there's a tiny bit coming off that, but actually now you can spread it out and you couldn't spread it out otherwise. So that's number one. And I hope that answers that question, Victor, for you. Yeah. I think the second one is that we also have a product that for software companies whereby they can offer their customer essentially 0%, a bit what Apple does sometimes for their iPhones, depending on the country. And what that means is that the software company can say, hey, you can pay monthly as long as your credit approved with Tranche. And then what we do is we essentially take that, essentially the software company bears the fee. So the software company, and because they've got pricing flexibility, they're actually really happy to do this, but they can provide their customer with a free monthly option. And then we just need to make sure that the customer, we're comfortable collecting the money from the customer. So we're experimenting all the time. This is the new 0% BNPL product for software. We're really excited to see how that one goes as well. So we have a number of different models.
Yeah, no, it's there are so many use cases, because every time I talk to you, I think of another use case. And I think I told you last time we spoke, I'm like, man, every company, SaaS provider, like, should do this. Like, you know, and so obviously when you have a product that, you know, that any and all companies could use, eventually you might become a trillionaire, Philip. You know, well, we'll see how you guys continue to innovate. So, you know, maybe to, you know, one of the last questions that I love asking founders and is if you were speaking to, you know, C-level executives, and what advice or tips would you have for them? Maybe it's about Tranche, maybe not, but just, you know, what you've seen in your career, what you've seen the last 2 years, where the world is going. What tips would you have for, you know, executives that are running businesses today?
It's a really good question, Victor. I think for early stage companies, I'd always say to them, and there's a bit of YC advice to this as well, but just get your product out there. Launch, launch, launch. And I think the same applies to big companies as well. I think they're often like so focused on shipping the perfect product that by the time they ship the perfect product, the opportunity might already have gone, or the product's kind of already out of date. So building in a silo is always bad versus actually being on the ground talking to your customers, whether that's your product, whether that's your services. Getting out there, launching early, and being there with people and iterating is much better. My biggest regret with Tranche is not launching 2 months ago, because we wanted all of the 2 months before we did, I should say, because we wanted all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, as we say. Whereas actually, we should have just got out there. You know, your MVP will learn so much more than if you launch a product that you think is like the perfect product. So, my advice, you know, other than Victor and I, we both share a love of just getting out there and hustling, is get uncomfortable with your customers, because you'll learn a ton more.
Yeah, that's an amazing tip. It's easier said than done, as you know, because sometimes I think when, you know, people create products or services, they want to make sure, you know, it's the best and it fits everything. But at the same time, you got to learn, right? Even when you buy Facebook ads, Google ads, you got to learn first. It's not going to, you just buy ads and suddenly customer come in tomorrow, right? There's a testing process. And a lot of people, I think, may not have the patience or just understanding that for everything, there's a process, you know? And no, this has been great. And of course, we're excited to, you know, next couple of weeks, have you on for the webinar to visually show how Tranche works. But excited to have you. Appreciate it, Philip. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you so much, Victor. Thanks for having me on here.
That was an amazing episode of the DigiKnow podcast with VeriSource. Hope you enjoyed it and got some great insights from it. Make sure you follow us on social media for the next episode. And if you want to get the best deals from the guest today, make sure to send us a message at sales@verisource.com.